an old song. Take your Bibles, please. I want you to look at a couple passages of Scripture with me this morning. First of all, look at Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 3 and 4. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 3 and 4. Solomon said here in chapter number 3, he said, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." The Bible tells us that we are not to let mercy and truth forsake us. We're supposed to apply them. We're supposed to take heed to them. Look over at Psalm 107, if you would please. A great passage of Scripture. Many times we read this passage of Scripture when we think about Thanksgiving time, but really every day ought to be a Thanksgiving time for those that know the Lord. It says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in a wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way." Let me pause just there for a minute. Every time God leads, it's always the right way. It's always the right way when God leads. "And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his mercy, his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound and in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contempted the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. He brake their bands asunder." Look at verse 15. Four times it mentions this in this psalm. It says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men." With all that said, go back to 2 Samuel chapter number 9. When you found your place there, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before you, we are thankful for your mercy and your grace in our lives. We're thankful this morning, Lord, that you've been there for us, even though there's times in our lives when we have not been there for you. I'm thankful this morning, Lord, that you are a merciful God, and Lord, you're a God that offers grace during the time of need. Lord, I ask and pray that you'd help us today. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone today that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, that today would become that day when they would understand that they're a sinner, they're lost, and without thee, they're helpless and hopeless. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would draw them to the Savior's side. And Lord, grant to them the gift of repentance and faith in thee. We ask and pray, Lord, now that you do a great work in our lives, help every child of God here today, Lord, to understand the depths of your mercy and your grace. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You know, as a Bible-believing Christian, many times we want to focus on the truth of God's Word. And I believe the truth of God's Word is very, very important. I believe that when we look at this Bible and we read it from cover to cover, it doesn't just contain truth, it is truth. I believe that this Bible is true from the very beginning to the very last word that's ever uttered. I believe that many of us will focus on the fact of God's truth and we'll say, you know what? God's Word is true. And we'll go ahead and we'll focus on those things and we'll focus on the truth of God's Word. I'm glad that God is 100% reliable. I'm glad that God is 100% trustworthy. And I believe each and every one of us would say, yeah, preacher, I'm right with you. I believe that God's Word is trustworthy. I believe in God's truth. But the question this morning is, do we believe in God's mercy? And do we believe in God's grace? Do we stand for it? In Psalm 107, verse number 1 through verse number 15, look at what the Word of God had to say about mercy. It says there in that passage, oh, men would praise the Lord for His goodness to the children of men, for His mercy. God is merciful. What is mercy? Mercy is not getting what we really deserve. What do we deserve? I'll tell you what we deserve. As a sinner, we deserve the judgment of God. We deserve God to lower the boom on each and every one of us and send us to a place called hell. That's really what we deserve. I'm glad that God is merciful. I'm glad that even though we deserve to be separated from God. Now you might think, well, you know what? I'm not really that great of a sinner. Well, you know, humanly speaking, you might have that attitude, and I might have that attitude, and we might say, well, you know what, we're really not that bad of people. But let me ask you a question. How many times does a person have to lie in order to be a liar? Just once. How many times does a person have to steal in order to be a thief? Just once. Jesus said if you look at another person and you have lustful thoughts in your mind, you've already committed adultery. How many times does a person have to look in lust to become, according to the Bible, an adulterer? Just once. How many sins does it take in order to separate us from God? The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Separation from God. You see, we need to realize that we're all sinners. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, it says, whereas by one man sin entered the world, talking about Adam and Eve, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men. Every person that's here this morning, every person that will hear in the future by the means of the internet, listen to me. We are all sinners. And we are all under the judgment of God. And unless God shows mercy, and God offers grace. Now, mercy is not getting what we deserve, and grace is receiving something that we really don't deserve. You see, we get an opportunity to go to heaven all because of God's grace. Amen? There's nobody really deserves it because we're all sinners and we've sinned against God. And it might be just a small sin or a big sin in your eyes, but sin is sin before God. And so God offers His mercy through the person of Jesus Christ, and God offers grace to us through the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse number 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, we can go ahead and work all we want. We can be a good person as much as we try to be, and it's still not enough to earn God's mercy and grace in our lives. I'm here to tell you this morning, I am glad that through the person of Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity to be a recipient of God's mercy and grace. Y'all with me this morning? Amen? Amen. Now, this morning, I want you to notice a man in the Scripture that is a tremendous example of the mercy and the grace of God being exhibited in his life. And in 2 Samuel chapter number 9, verse number 1 through verse number 11, you find a man by the name of Mephibosheth. That might seem like an odd name, but I hope that that name sticks with you the rest of your life. Because Mephibosheth in the Old Testament is probably one of the greatest examples of mercy and grace found in the Scripture. And a lot of people think, well, you know, the Old Testament, that's all about the law, and mercy and grace is not found there. There's all kinds of examples of mercy and grace in the Old Testament. Amen? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God saved the human race because of Noah. I want you to notice the life of Mephibosheth. Look at verse number 1 and following. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness?" And notice the rest of this phrase, "for Jonathan's sake." "And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they called him unto David, the king said unto him, 'Art thou Ziba?' And he said, 'Thy servant is he.' And the king said," now notice what it says here. Notice the phraseology. And I believe that every word is there for a reason. Exactly the where, why it's put there is for a reason. "And the king said, 'There is,'" the king said, "'Is there yet, not yet, any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God?'" Not just David's kindness. He wanted to show him the kindness of God unto him. "And Ziba said unto the king, 'Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet.'" This morning I want you to notice, first of all, there was a man by the name of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth was a man that was the last heir, the last of the seed of the first king of Israel, which was King Saul. All the other sons had died in battle along with Saul. But something happened to Mephibosheth when he was a young boy. Look at 2 Samuel chapter number 4. Look at verse number 1 through verse number 4. And I want you to notice how that the grace of God will even work through a tragedy that takes place. And a lot of times we will go ahead and we'll have a tragedy that will come into our life and we'll go ahead and say, "Lord, I don't understand why you allowed this to come into my life." And a lot of times what God is doing, God is preparing you to have mercy and grace shown to you at another point in time in your life. Don't complain and don't grumble and don't gripe about trials and difficulties that come into your life, because, you know, God may have them there just to teach you about His mercy and grace in future days. In 2 Samuel chapter number 4, verse number 4, I want you to notice, it says, "And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame on his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth." So I want you to picture this in your mind. All of a sudden, there is news about King Saul and about Jonathan and about Jonathan's brothers, how that they were killed in battle. And the story comes back to the nurse that is taking care of this young man by the name of Mephibosheth. He was how old, everybody? 5 years old. She takes him up and flees with him. And apparently she must stumble or fall. We aren't given the exact details. But when that young man fell, it crippled him the rest of his life. And the Bible says that Mephibosheth was lame on his feet. Now, I don't know, that doesn't go into definition or explanation how much he was lame. But apparently he was so lame that he could not go to battle. He was so lame that he really couldn't take care of himself. Someone else had to take care of him. He was so lame. We don't know if he was actually able to walk. That's usually the definition in the Bible. If someone was lame, they couldn't walk. Maybe he had to walk. Maybe he walked a little bit with a crutch or something. I don't know. That would also be a definition of being lame. Now I want you to stop and think about it. How old are you, young man? 15 years old. Could you imagine, for the last 10 years, not being able to walk? That'd be tough, wouldn't it? It really would. I mean, we take it for granted. We get up in the morning, we put on our shoes and our socks, and I guess we put on our socks and our shoes. That's the way you do it first, right? And so we put on our socks and then our shoes, and then we get up and we go about day's business, you know? And we just take it for granted. Unless all of a sudden we have some difficulties and we become lame That was Mephibosheth. I want you to notice the very first thing about God's mercy and grace. And some things about Mephibosheth. Number one, Mephibosheth was injured by a fall. His fall was caused by someone else. It was caused by fear. And as the nurse fled with him, whether she was carrying him or dragging him along behind her, I don't know, but we find that he fell and he became injured and he became lame on his feet. He was injured by a fall. I want you to notice chapter number 9. Look at verse 1. I want you to notice the second thing. Not only, number one, Mephibosheth was injured by what? A fall. I think everybody needs to remember that. Number two, Mephibosheth was left all alone. It says here in verse number 1 of chapter 9, and David said, is there yet any of the house, or any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? I want you to notice that he was left all alone. His grandfather, who was King Saul, had died in battle against the Philistines. We find that also that his uncles, according to 1 Samuel chapter number 31, verse number 2 and verse number 5, they died in the battle. We find that Jonathan ended up dying in the battle. And so here was the last heir to the throne. Actually, if it wasn't for God appointing David, Mephibosheth would have been king. But Mephibosheth was hid. It was a common practice, not a good practice, but it was a common practice when a new king took over. He made sure that all the seed, all the royal lineage from the previous king were destroyed. Like I said, that was not a good practice. I'm just saying that was a common practice of those days. That was not a practice that King David wanted to practice. That was not something that he wanted to follow through with. But it was something that many of the kings, foreign kings, did. So when all of the king's family had died in battle, there was a young boy, 5 years old, the nurse hid. And she hit him for a reason. She was afraid he was going to be next. So here he was left all alone. You know, without Jesus Christ, each and every one of us are alone. We are all orphaned in this world. Our Heavenly Father, really, if you're not saved, He's really not your Heavenly Father. Jesus said in John chapter number 8 and verse number 44, looking at the religious crowd of the day that really didn't know the Lord, He said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and lust of your father ye will do." You see, if a person is not saved, really, even though God is our Creator, God is not their Heavenly Father until you claim the Son. And then we become a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So he was left all alone. But even though he was left all alone, look what it says in verse number 1. There was a king that sought after him. There was a king that sought after him. He says, is there any left of the house of Saul? And in verse number 3, he said, listen, is there any left of the house of Saul, Ziba? Is there anybody left that I might show the kindness of God unto him? David didn't want to kill anybody that was of Saul's lineage. He wanted to show mercy and grace. He wanted to show mercy and grace. He wanted to show the kindness of God. So number one, he was injured by what? A fall. Number two, he was left alone. But thank God, he wasn't forgotten. And then number three, I want you to notice this. Verse number 1 and verse number 3, he was sought after by a king. He was sought after by a king. Now you bear with me. I think you're going to see where this is all going to go in just a minute. He was sought after by a king. What an example of mercy and grace. He wanted to show him the kindness of God. God's sought after us, folks. And even though we are unworthy, and even though we have gone astray, and even though we may be lame upon our feet, spiritually speaking, unable to come to Him, He came to me. Look at verse 7. I want you to notice the fourth thing. We find that Mephibosheth is found. He was in a place called Lodabar. And he brought him to King David. And in verse number 6, it says that as he came before the king, he fell down before the king. We find here that verse 7, David said unto him, "Fear not, for surely I will show thee kindness." Now notice this next statement. "For Jonathan, thy father's sake, and I will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father," talking about his grandfather, "and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." What a great example of God's mercy and grace. Here was a man that really was in line to be king, but because of an accident when he was just a young boy, he became lame. He was not able to go out to battle. And yet God raised up another king, and when many kings will kill the lineage, He showed mercy and grace to him. He sought him out. And he said, "You know what? I want to go ahead and show you kindness because your dad, Jonathan, was my best friend. Because Jonathan was my friend, I'm going to be a friend to you." You know, that's so important. When we understand what Jesus Christ has done for us, and now we are able to become a friend of God, not because we are worthy. Listen, we are only lame on our feet. We are unable to come to God, but thank God He was able to come to us. Amen. And I'm glad that Jesus Christ was the one that was like Jonathan. And because of Jonathan's sake, we are able to come to God, and God is able to show us kindness and mercy. I want you to notice in verse number 7, not only was he sought out by the king, but he was reconciled and he was renewed by the king. He was reconciled and renewed by the king. The very first thing, when Mephibosheth came to before King David, Mephibosheth fell down and was before David, and he says, "You know, who am I? Just a dead dog?" And the king, King David, said, number one, "Fear not." When the king calls us to him, the child of God has nothing to fear. Whether he is calling us to walk a certain path, to live a certain type of a life, to be involved in a certain type of ministry, we have nothing to fear. Amen. And he says there, "For I will surely show kindness for Jonathan's sake." And listen, God shows us kindness today, not because you're some good Joe, not because you're some good gal. God shows each and every one of you kindness because of Jesus Christ. That is an example of God's mercy and grace. You see, really, if we got what we deserved, he would say, "Guilty." And we would have to be ushered off to a place called hell. I'm glad this morning of God's mercy and grace. And not only did he show it because of Jonathan's sake, he said, "I will restore thee." He said, "I will restore thee." Not only is Jesus Christ willing to save us, but listen, Jesus Christ is willing to restore us, and He's willing to make us a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice this. He says, thou shalt eat bread with my at my table. He said, Mephibosheth, don't fear. You don't have to worry. I'm not going to hurt you. He said, I'm going to show you kindness because of your father's sake. He said, I'm going to restore all the land of your grandfather, King Saul. And he says, and you're going to come and you're going to eat at my table. You know what God desires for each and every one of us? That's fellowship. God desires to fellowship with us. He desires to go ahead and have us sit at his table. One day the table is going to be set and he's going to say, come and dine. The master calleth, come and dine. And listen, we're going to sit at the master's table forever and ever and we're going to enjoy the fellowship with God. But listen, I want you to notice the last verse of this. It says that he's going to not only have him come and sit at his table, notice the last word. It says continually. Continually. That tells me this. Forever, I'm going to be able to have fellowship with him. What an example of mercy and grace considering the testimony of Saul towards David. And if you read in the Old Testament the life of King Saul, what was he trying to do? Every chance that he got, Saul was trying to kill King David. Actually, David was just a shepherd boy. And because God favored David, because he had a heart after God's own heart, Saul became jealous. Saul tried to kill him. An evil spirit possessed Saul's heart. And he became troubled. So they called for someone that was a skilled musician to come in. And so David would play the harp and the evil spirit would calm down. And then all of a sudden Saul would get all worked up and he'd take a javelin and would try to throw it at David and try to kill him. And yet David would come back in later and play again. We find that many times where David had the opportunity to kill King Saul, but yet he said, I can't lift my hand towards God's anointed. There was a time when he was in a cave and he cut off the robe of his skirt and he said, Saul, he says, look, he says, I could have killed you, but he says, I will not lift my hand against God's anointed. Every opportunity that Saul had, he tried to kill David. He hated David. But David had a best friend. That was Saul's son by the name of Jonathan. And Jonathan died in battle. And David grieved over the loss of Jonathan. And when King David heard that, actually he wasn't king at that point in time, he had not been anointed to be king yet, but when David heard that Saul had died, you know what he did? He didn't throw a party. He wept and he grieved. Because God's man. And David still loved Saul, even though Saul showed hatred toward him. I want you to notice that he was reconciled. Mephibosheth was reconciled and he was renewed. He was reconciled and renewed by the king. As I said, what an example of mercy and grace when we consider how Saul treated David. And then look at verse number 10 and 11. It says, thou therefore, and thy sons, and thy servants shall till the land for him, talking to Ziba, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. As one of the king's sons. What a great example of mercy and grace. And here Mephibosheth was adopted by David practically and became a joint heir with his other sons. Now I said all that to say this. Let's wrap it up. An example of mercy and grace. Hey, I'm all about truth. I think we ought to be involved in truth. I think we ought to stand on the truth. I think we ought to go ahead and boldly declare the truth of God's Word. But I'm here to tell you today, if we have truth and we don't exhibit mercy and grace in our lives, doesn't make any difference. Because mercy and grace is the mortar that holds together the bricks of foundational truth in our life. And if we are going to build our lives for God, we need to understand this. Yes, we need truth. But we need to have the mercy and grace in our lives that holds it all together. And that's what Mephibosheth was all about. He was an example of mercy and grace in our lives. All because of Jesus Christ. God's mercy and kindness has been afforded to us. Each and every one of us has been wounded by the fall because of someone else. Because of the sin of Adam and Eve, sin has passed upon all men, for all have sinned, Romans 5:12. For Jesus' sake, we have been sought out by our Heavenly Father. For He has come to seek and to save that which is lost. In John chapter number 4 and verse number 4, talking about Jesus Christ, He must needs go through Samaria. And there was a reason why, because there was a woman at the well that needed to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And He sought her out. Listen to me. You and I, if you're saved today, it's because Jesus Christ sought you out. He sought you out so that you could be saved. And today, if God is speaking to your heart, He is seeking you out today so that you can come to know Christ as your Savior. You say, well, I don't know if I want to get saved. Listen, you don't know how long God's mercy and grace is going to be afforded to you. And today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. The Scripture tells us in both the Old and the New Testament. For Jesus' sake, we have been sought out by our Heavenly Father. For Jesus' sake, we have been shown kindness of God. For Jesus' sake, through salvation, we can be restored. We can be forgiven. Through Jesus' sake, we can have fellowship with the Father, which that fellowship when the fall was broken. For Jesus' sake, we will not be forsaken. As I said, God's mercy and God's grace is the mortar that holds the foundation of truth in place. And we might brag about the fact we've got truth. And praise the Lord, we need truth. But we need God's mercy and grace in our lives. Because where would we be today if it wasn't for God's mercy and grace? We can be holding on to the truth, but we need God's mercy and grace. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? God is full of mercy. God is full of grace. If you've not experienced His salvation, there's a place where mercy and truth meet together. It's called the cross of Calvary. Today, if you don't know Christ, run to the cross. Run to the cross and kneel at the cross, and Christ will meet you there. Come while He waits for you, the old song says. Don't hesitate. The cross is, it's there where you're going to find healing. It is there where you're going to find forgiveness. It is there where you're going to find salvation. It is there where you're going to find where mercy and grace is available to all. I do not want to make truth look unimportant, because it's absolutely important. But I'm here to tell you, we need God's mercy and grace. And like Mephibosheth, we are all lame. Like Mephibosheth, we'll never come on our own. Like Mephibosheth, we must be called. Like Mephibosheth, we must be brought to the king. Like Mephibosheth, we need to have that mercy and grace applied to our life. And then we can sit at the feet of the Savior forever and ever. We can have God's mercy and grace applied. and His fellowship throughout the ends of time. Let's bow our heads, please. With every head bowed and every eye closed, today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, God wants to save you for Jesus' sake. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You say, well, preacher, I'm just too wicked of a sinner. There's no such thing. Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. Every person is in need of God's mercy and grace. And every person, God has made it available through Jesus Christ. What will you do with Jesus Christ this morning? Will you accept Him? Or will you go your own way? Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that you'd help each and every one today to examine their own heart and their life, and Lord, help them to understand the great example of your mercy and grace available to us. I'm so thankful, Lord, for the life of Mephibosheth, and Lord, the example that you show us today through him. Help us, Lord, to take these truths and apply them to our life. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here today that's never trusted Christ as their Savior, Lord, during this invitation, they'd walk the aisle and come and say, Lord, save me in Jesus' name. Lord, help us not to harden our hearts. Help us, Lord, to come as you call. We'll give you the praise and the glory for everything that's said and done in Christ's name.